Very good. Let's read in 1 John again. That same book that we just read in, 1 John. It's near the back of your Bible, almost to the end. 1 John chapter 5 this time. Not chapter 4, but chapter 5. Verse 19. 1 John 5, verse 19 says this. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. I want you to think of that phrase with me. The whole world lieth in wickedness. I'm not sure what you think of the devil. It is very likely that many of us, when we think of the devil, we think of some fictional character that's displayed sometimes in cartoons. A little drawing of a thing with horns and a pitchfork, right? Some of us, when we think of the devil, we think maybe just of an evil force, a sense of evil in the world that we can't really put our finger on, but we know there's something wrong. But what if I told you tonight from the Bible that the devil is not just a force, he's not just, especially not just a joke. He's a real person. The devil is a real person, and he's a real person who desires loss of your soul. And for the last few minutes of our meeting tonight, I want to talk about how your soul is at risk, not just from you waiting. Sometimes we think about it that way, don't we? Sometimes we just think about it, well, the only thing I have going against me really is if the Lord comes, well, then I'll be lost. And if I die tonight, well, then I'll be lost. But if I live and the Lord doesn't come, I'll be okay. And if I live another day and the Lord doesn't come, then I'll be okay. And if I live another day and the Lord doesn't come, until I'm just about here, and then I'll stop and I'll turn and I'll come and I'll be saved. That's what a lot of us think, right? But what I want you to think about tonight is the fact that every day you're on this road, there is someone who is fighting to keep you there. Someone who's fighting to make sure that you never trust Christ. Someone who is actively engaged in a battle for your soul. That's the devil. Satan himself. The devil was there in the beginning, wasn't he? In the Garden of Eden. When he tempted Eve and they took of the fruit and they ate, both Eve and her husband. And God came into the garden on that day after sin had come into the world, and he looked for Adam and he said, Adam, where art thou? The relationship between man and God had changed completely. Now instead of man communicating with God, he was separated from God. Instead of people wanting to be close to God, they were running away from God. Why? Because sin had not only caused a separation, it caused a fear. And that fear drove man further away from God. But when God came into the garden, he looked at Adam and he said, Adam, by the sweat of your brow, you'll eat bread. The ground will bring forth thorns and thistles. There was a curse placed upon the ground for Adam's sake. And he looked at Eve and he said to Eve, he said, in pain or in sorrow, thou shalt bear children. And the sorrow and pains of childbirth are a result of that event in the garden. Then he looked at the devil and he said, the seed of the woman shall bruise thine head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, that going back 6,000 years is the first prophecy, I would say, in our Bible. What was it? It was God proclaiming that Christ would come into the world and win victory over Satan. Now, that's what the Bible teaches. that God proclaimed from that very time that there would be one who is called the seed of the woman who would come into the world, and Satan would be defeated. Now, from that moment, Satan actively sought the seed of the woman. I mean, what would you do if somebody told you it was going to be a red truck coming down the road that was going to hit your car? What would you be looking for every day? The red truck. If you were sure that the person was right and they knew what they were talking about and you believed what they said, every time you saw a red truck, you try your best to avoid it, right? Well, in the Bible, the seed of the woman is the red truck for Satan. He knows that that's going to be his demise. So when Cain is born, what does he do? He contaminates Cain. In fact, in the New Testament, we read that Cain was of that wicked one. So that Satan motivated Cain to kill his brother Abel. And Satan thought, there he is, seed of the woman. And I've defeated him, right? And Abel now is gone. And Cain is disqualified. And you move down and you keep moving further and further until you see Abraham's son come into the world. And Satan recognizes this. Isaac is the seed of the woman. And he tries his best to mess up Abraham's family. And I can't help but think that on the altar on Mount Moriah, Satan was just looking back in glee as he thought, this boy, the seed of the woman, is going to be killed. You follow it all the way through the Bible. Different times where Satan thought that he had won victory by getting rid of the person that was prophesied, but he never did. And when you come to the New Testament and you find the Lord Jesus, Satan is active against Christ from the very beginning, but he couldn't win. He tempts him in the garden. That's not the first time, actually, he was against Christ. He was against Christ when Herod sent all of the men out to murder all of the babies in the land of Bethlehem. He was against Christ when he tempted him in the wilderness 3 times. And what Dean was describing for us tonight, at the cross, Satan was there. He was against the Lord Jesus. He was motivating the people. He was motivating the people to slay the Lord Jesus. He was there the whole time. But you know what happened? The moment the Lord Jesus voluntarily gave up his life, Satan received his death blow. Right there. The Bible tells us that right there, when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, that was the bruising of his heel, but the crushing of the serpent's head. But he's still living. He's still moving. He's still active. And that's where we come to our meeting tonight. And I just want everyone to pay real close attention, because this affects you. The Lord Jesus said, when a strong man armed keeps his palace, his goods are at peace. What's he talking about? He's talking about a house where there's treasure inside. All of that person's belongings inside are an object of the robbers and the thieves, right? He wants to get in. He wants to take away that which is precious. But when that strong man is keeping his palace, when he has guards at the door, and when he has weapons to keep people out, everything inside is peaceful and safe. Now, what the Lord Jesus is saying is, Satan is that strong man, and you're the treasure. You're the goods. So that Satan knows that he has you. And in order to keep you, he provides different ways, or he makes different ways to set up security, right? That's the idea. But the gist of it is this, that in that house, the goods are at peace. Is it possible, my friends, to be at peace on the road to hell? Is it possible to be at peace when your next breath could be your last? I find it hard to believe, but the Bible tells me it is. And there are millions, maybe billions of people in our world tonight on the road to a lost eternity, and they're just oblivious and as peaceful as if everything was okay. That's because the strong man is a strong man, isn't he? It's a powerful, powerful influence that Satan has. What does he use to keep his goods at peace in our day? Distractions, pleasure, possessions. Anything he can do to just keep your mind off of salvation, he's keeping his goods at peace. But then the Lord Jesus says this, when a stronger than he comes and he binds the strong man, the goods are released. And that's the active struggle in a gospel meeting. We're going to talk more about it, but that's the active struggle in a gospel meeting. You know, as the gospel is being preached, it's the stronger than he, it's the Spirit of God, it is God himself pushing and trying to reach you through the strong man's influence. So that while you're trying not to think about the gospel, God is fighting the strong man to release those goods. When you're trying to think about pleasure instead of thinking about God, God is still moving. He's still working. And there are people in this meeting tonight, and they used to be the treasure. They used to be the goods of the strong man. But the stronger than he has released the goods. Saved by the grace of God and released from Satan's captive chain. But there's another way that Satan works when the gospel is preached. Now, for some of us, this is an education. For others, it's a reminder. But for all of us, it should be a warning. You'll remember the Lord Jesus spoke of preaching the gospel as spreading seed, right? What did he say? A sower went forth to sow. Now, in those days, sowing seed was not as accurate or efficient as it is today. If you see someone going with a grain planter, we'll call it that, a seeder, if you will, they're going in rows, and it's being planted the same distance apart, the same depth into the ground, at the same rate for the entire row, for the entire field. And then that's why you see crops growing up in rows, right? But in the days of the Lord Jesus, sowing seed wasn't planting it and pushing it in the ground. It was taking it out of a bag and scattering it, right? So he was talking about scattering seed like we scatter or we spread the seed of the gospel. He scattered seed, and some of the seed fell on good ground. The seed that fell on the good ground, it grew. You know, we're praying for good ground in these meetings. We're praying that your soul would be that good ground that will bring forth fruit. But there's some that fell among thorns. And the Lord Jesus said, the cares of this world choked it out. Happens in the gospel, right? And there's some that fell on the stony ground. And the stony ground are ones that popped up real quick. And the reason they popped up real quick is because they had water and they had the sunlight. But then they died almost right away. What's he saying? He's saying that's like a person who hears the word and professes to be saved, but is not really saved. That's all he's saying. And for a while they go on, but as soon as something happens, they're gone. That's what the Bible says. But then he says there's another ground. And that ground is the hard-packed pathway, right? So you're spreading seed. And some of it, you're good at spreading seed. Some people are good at spreading seed. And some of it is going right where you want it. And a little bit of it's going in the thorns. And a little bit it's going on stony ground. And a little bit of it's going on the pathway. You know what happens to seed on the pathway? It just stays there until the birds come. The birds come and take it away. Now, the Lord Jesus is saying that that is just like people hearing the word of God. Some bring forth fruit, some get choked out, some just profess, and some the devil takes away the seed. Now, biblically, we believe that. But practically, it happens so easy, doesn't it? Now, if you're being honest tonight and listening to what I'm saying, you're going to be able to relate to this. Sit in a meeting like this. Hear the gospel. Just two men just telling you what the Word of God says. But the Word of God is having an effect. And you get up, your phone buzzes, or maybe your phone's buzzing right now. I don't know. Or somebody tells you a joke. Or you think about the basketball game. Or you think about school tomorrow. Or you try not to think about what God is saying. And the devil is just waiting right there. And you know what he does? Grabs a seat and it's gone. Now, I wouldn't believe that if the Bible didn't say it, but that's what the Lord Jesus said. So not only are you goods of the devil being protected by that strong man, you need the stronger than he to come. But it's very possible tonight before you leave this room that the devil will take away the seed. That's why we need to be careful not to distract people when they hear the gospel. See, the most important thing is that the seed finds a place to germinate. The Word of God stays in. That's the devil's work. In 2 Corinthians, the devil is busy. He's busy in a different way now. He doesn't have you trapped inside of his palace. And he's not coming to take away the seed, but he's active. You know what he's active doing? Blinding the mind. Blinding. So that God is shining light. I can't help but smile when I think about that. God is shining light. This is the light. The Word of God is the light. So that when we preach from the Bible and we show you what's in the Bible, it's like a light shining in the darkness. We know that, don't we? It's a lamp unto our feet. Absolutely. It's a light unto our path. A lamp to show us where we are and a light to show us where we're going. But it's a light nonetheless, shining in darkness. And we are told that God commanded the light to shine in darkness in the book of Genesis. In creation, God commanded the light and the light shone and the darkness couldn't stop it. But here you have in the gospel, the light is shining. And as the light is shining, it is shining everywhere the gospel is preached. But Satan is not trying to get the light to stop shining. Satan is just blinding the eyes of them that are in the meeting. That's tremendous when you think of it. You know what I noticed from the time that I first got saved until tonight is this. People who've heard the gospel for years still don't know the gospel. Remarkable, isn't it? I go back to the night that I got saved, and the simplest thing, that Christ's death on the cross makes me safe, and God's word makes me sure. You would think that a boy growing up in Sunday school and hearing gospel all his life would know that basic truth. But that became clear in a way that it never was clear before, and I started to realize all that I thought I knew nothing. Because all the time that the light was shining, the devil was blinding. And the same thing when I think about you in this meeting tonight. Now, I'm not doubting your intelligence, okay? That's not what I'm doing, because in all reality, you're probably more intelligent than I am. I mean, I wouldn't get real proud over that because you don't know how intelligent I am. But in reality, I'm not doubting your intelligence. But I'm telling you this, no matter how smart you are, Satan's blinding your mind. And that is a real spiritual battle. So you got it. While the gospel is being preached, while we are preaching the gospel, Satan is guarding his goods. Trying to keep you at peace. And if you leave this meeting tonight with no thoughts of your soul, he's successful. And while we're preaching the gospel, the seed's being sown. And what's happening? Instead of the seed finding a place to lodge, the devil is coming and taking away the seed. That's all he's doing all the time. And as the gospel is being preached and the light is being shined, the devil is blinding the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the gospel of the glories of Christ should shine. So you see, there's a spiritual battle that goes beyond your control. That's why it's so urgent tonight for you to trust Christ when you can. Because Satan is actively trying to see your soul damned. But what we read together in 1 John chapter 5 is probably the most deceptive way that Satan works. Now, we read that the whole world lies in wickedness. But the word wickedness there is not a thing. It's a person. So that what the Bible is really telling me here is that the whole world is lying in the wicked one. That's Satan. And it's an interesting picture that the Bible is painting for us, but I want you to get it because I think you'll understand it. Now remember, there's a battle for your soul going on even in these last 6 minutes of this gospel meeting. Sleep is a wonderful thing, isn't it? When you're tired, sleep is a wonderful thing. I would say that most of the parents of young children, toddlers and below, love to sleep when they can, right? The only way you can sleep is if the baby's sleeping, right? I remember when the kids were little and they'd fuss or they'd fight or they'd stay up, especially if they had a cold or a flu or something, and everyone would be up because the baby's up, right? So let's suppose you had a little baby and the baby didn't sleep all night. You're tired and the baby's tired and you're trying your best to get the baby to sleep, so you give the baby a bottle, right? You try feeding it. Go to sleep. That doesn't work. So you start rocking the baby back and forth, maybe bouncing the baby on your knee just to see whatever it will take to get the baby asleep. And then finally you see those little eyes start to close. And after the little eyes start to close, the mouth relaxes and the baby's asleep. Now the one thing that you're focused on is don't wake the baby, right? Don't wake the baby. You do whatever you like, but you don't wake the baby. And if someone comes in and they slam the door and the baby starts to move a little bit, now you'll take your eyes and you'll gaze at the person and give them a set of eyes is what I'd call it, right? Like you look at them really, don't wake the baby, right? But then you bounce the baby again, rock the baby again, and the baby falls asleep, right? And then you notice that the baby might be getting near to the end of her sleep, but you're not ready for the baby to wake up, so you rock the baby again, you bounce the baby again, you give the baby a bottle, you give the baby a soother. Whatever it takes, don't wake the baby, right? Now, the Bible's painting for us that same picture. Except you're the baby, and Satan is rocking you to sleep. And the only thing he cares about is don't wake the baby, right? So you're at rest, you're at peace in your sins and heading to a lost eternity and thinking about everything and anything except for your soul. And then in the back of your mind, you start to think about your sin. The back of your mind, you start to think about eternity. You start to think about God, and that's beginning to wake you. The Spirit of God now, remember, in this spiritual battle, is beginning to wake you to your need and urgency of salvation. But Satan sees it, and Satan will put something in front of you, give you something to pacify you, give you something to distract you, so that you don't wake the baby. Right? Now, it might be some game that you like. It might be some entertainment you like. It might be some girl that you like. It could be anything. But all he's doing is making sure you don't get disturbed over this gospel thing. Right? And if he can keep you sleeping for one more day, he's done his job today. And then one more day, right? Don't wake the baby. And another day, and another day, and people without peace begin to be awakened. They begin to think. They begin to move. And Satan continues to do his work until don't wake the baby ends up in waking up in a lost eternity. That part's out of your control. The whole world lieth in wickedness. That's why it frightens me when I hear people say, I'll get saved before I die. That's why it should bother every one of us when somebody acts as if they've got lots of time before they need to be saved. Why? Because it's not about time. It's about this spiritual battle for your soul. If I could tell you anything tonight, it would be, tonight, trust Christ. Trust the one who can release you from the bondage of this strong man. Respond to the light that is shining. You know what you'll get? More light. More light. If you were to believe God tonight, you know what you would get? More light. But if you come to Christ and trust Him, you'll be saved because the Bible says so. We'll pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the Lord Jesus. We're thankful for the cross and the mercy of God to us. We are thankful, Father, for the message of the gospel that is light from God. And we pray that there will be someone respond to the light tonight. Turning from the light is an option. Being blinded by the God of this world is something that's out of their control. We pray, Father, that the devil, based on the value of the blood of Christ, will be held back and sinners will be saved before they leave this room. We look to thee for this, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.